into Proverbs chapter 2. Did you know that if you look at that starting line, is there anybody that's ahead of anyone else there? They're all starting at the same starting line. So let me read Proverbs 1:7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Some translations say wisdom. "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." And let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. And this tells us how to develop the fear of the Lord. Amen. He says, "If my son, if," notice that "if" there. This isn't automatic, but this is an opportunity for us to do some things in order for God to get wisdom to us. "If you will receive my words," you know, not everybody receives the words of God, "and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, search for her as far as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord." How many want to understand the fear of the Lord? Well, there are some things that we can do to understand the fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of God. "For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." So the fear of the Lord, I want you to know that the fear of the Lord is a positive thing. Amen? It's not a negative thing. It doesn't mean that you're afraid to come before God. But the fear of the Lord is a reverential awe. It's a respect. It's a devotion for God, for the things of God, and the people of God. Amen? It's a healthy respect for the living God. Because it's a motive for holy living. Why should someone want to live right? What motivation? Well, number one, you're going to give an account for your life at the end of your life before who? So the fear of the Lord, it's a motive for holy living. I live holy because I respect God. I love God. I honor God. Amen? The fear of the Lord, it creates a right attitude and a godly lifestyle. The fear of the Lord, it's about how we live. It's about how we love, and it's about how we serve God. Amen? Why did God give his son to this world? This world had allowed sin to enter it. And this actually, when Adam and Eve sinned, they literally gave control to Satan to come into this earth and to operate legally. But God so loved the world. See, the reason he gave us Jesus, he was motivated by love. And see, love will cause you to take action. Amen? Love is a choice, and love is an action. When you choose to love someone, you're going to have actions that reinforce your choice. Amen? So the fear of God, it opens your eyes to see God as the ultimate reality. And you're concerned more about God's approval than anyone else's. Amen? You know, the Bible talks about being a God pleaser versus a man pleaser. How many know that there is a way that seems right to a man, right? But in the end, the Bible tells us it leads to death, you know? But there is a way that Jesus is the way. Amen? He's the way in which we need to go. He's the life that we need to live. Jesus is the way, and we can follow him. And part of it, where we begin, the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God begins with the fear of God. You know, the fear of God, recently there was a guy who walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. We saw it. It was pretty amazing, especially when he was praying, when he was in the place where he couldn't be seen because of the clouds, he was praying to God. Amen? But you know, the fear of the Lord is like that balance beam. He had a balance beam that weighed 40 pounds. It helped him keep his balance, so it helped him walk the straight and narrow path. See, the Christian life is like walking a tightrope. It's a straight and narrow path. But it's in contrast, the way to destruction, the Bible says, is wide. You know, destruction can come easily, but it takes a more narrow focus and a more narrow walk to stay straight, to keep from destruction. And so the fear of the Lord is like that balance beam. It'll help you walk straight. It'll help you keep your balance. It is the reverence which is due to the Creator of all things. How many know that God's the Creator of all things? When you recognize that He has the ability, He created everything that is seen and unseen. What does that mean for us? That means if you need something, He can create it. He can make it. You know, His word is the source of creation of all things. He spoke things into existence with His word. Do we still have His word today? Then His word can still create things that you need. You know, I think Lazarus got some things created in him when he was in the tomb. You know, I don't study dead people. So Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. You know, what kind of shape was his body in at that point? I'm sure that his body started to deteriorate. You know, but because of God's word, God created brand new skin, brand new body. He walked out of that grave. Whatever put him in that grave left him. The fear of the Lord is awe before the Almighty. Not awe, but like amazement, wonder, something that is spectacular. You're in awe. You're standing, you're looking at God and you're seeing these things. So those are some things about what the fear of the Lord is. Go with me to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. We looked at some of these last week, but we're going to take another look at them. Amen? Say, repetition is good. It helps me learn. You know, one time they said, Pastor, how come you've been preaching on this thing 4 or 5 times? He said, well, you're just about to get it. When you get it, I'll stop preaching on it. Amen? Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be wise, if you want to know God, see, if God is all-knowing, then all knowledge begins with Him. Amen? And an education is good, but an education without a revelation is not so good. You know, the Bible says that knowledge, when you gain knowledge, you can get puffed up. But He said, love edifies. See, love comes in a revelation. Amen? God shows you something. He makes a grace deposit. He drops something into your heart, and you know it like that. You didn't have to go to school for it. You didn't have to sit under a mentor for it. But through revelation knowledge, God just shows you something on the spot, and you know it. Amen? I like that kind of learning. Now, if you want to, you can learn the hard way. Do we have any graduates from the School of Hard Knocks? Amen? I got a degree from Hard Knocks. Look at this now. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So someone who fears the Lord is going to do what God says. Amen? They're going to do his commandments. They're going to do his word. They're going to do things his way. They're going to do things where he tells them to do them, when he tells them to do them, how he tells them to do them. That's the fear of the Lord. And, you know, I have a lot more scriptures, but, you know, I can only give out so many. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to move a little bit further today, but I want you to see this. Let's look at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. You know, you can put anybody that tries to be a Sadducee against you, you can put them to silence. Amen? You can mute them. Praise God. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, God gave Moses 10 commandments, not to mention all the other commandments that we find in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You know, those are passages sometimes that I just like to skip over. Amen? Come on, some of you do that too. So he wanted to tempt the Lord. Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God. Notice how personal God is. Love the Lord your God. You love him. He's your God. Say, God is my God. How should you love him? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That means that is your whole being. Everything that affects your soul, everything that affects your body, and everything that affects your mind ought to be directed with love for God. Amen? You know, you got to learn to love God with everything. You got to learn to love God in your finances. You'll never find a better financial advisor than the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit. He knows what field is going to produce the most. He knows what seed is going to work best where. Amen? He knows how to multiply seeds. Amen? And people who fear the Lord, they're not afraid to let God be their financial advisor. What does that mean? Well, it means two things. It means you're a giver of tithes and offerings. Because didn't the Bible say where your treasure is where? So your heart, you know what? We express our hearts where we put our treasures. Okay, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Two commandments. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. But how you love God is reflected in how you fear God, how you respect God, how you reverence God, how you honor God. Amen? How you honor his word. How attentive are we to his words? You know, often the Bible says in places, attend to my word. Pay attention, because this is the word of life. These are just more than just words, but there's a power behind this word to produce life. These words are eternal. God wants to take his word and inscribe it on your heart. Amen. God was the first one to come up with light scribe. You know, it's how sometimes you can use a light scribe to write writings on a CD. Well, God can take his word and he can burn it on your heart. Amen? That's the true light scribe because he's the light of the world. Why does God want to put his word on your heart so that you have it wherever you are? So that you can do it wherever you are. See, when something is in your heart, you're more likely to carry it out. So the fear of the Lord, it means to hate evil. To fear the Lord, God gives you permission to hate evil, to abhor that which is evil, to cleave to that which is good. Say, I hate evil. You know, you can hate what God hates. There are evil things in this world. There are things that makes God angry. You can read about them in Proverbs 6. It says six things God hates and seven, I like to say, he really tick him off. Did you know that God gets ticked off at some things? He does. And we should too. We should get angry at the same things. The fear of the Lord is clean. It'll purify your heart. It purifies you. All right, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. The book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. This book is called the Second Law. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And let's look at verse 11. Okay? And the Lord said unto me, arise, take your journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. The land that God wants to give you today is all the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. Everything that God has given us in Christ Jesus is our promised land for today. Amen? Now he's telling some, how are we supposed to act when we possess this land? When we come into possession of our inheritance. Okay? How are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to carry ourselves? Notice what it says. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God suggest? No, he didn't say suggest. What did he say? Say require. Now that doesn't leave room for options, does it? What does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord. Okay? To walk in some of his ways. All of his ways? How's that possible? With the power of the Holy Ghost, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we're supposed to fear the Lord. We're supposed to walk in all of his ways. We're supposed to love him. What do people do when they love each other? Show it. What? Spend time together. What else? This is good. Do things for each other. What else? What? What? Help? Talk together? Yes. So if we're supposed to love God, we're supposed to do those things with God. You know, you can become a friend of God. There are a few people in the Bible that were called a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. Moses was a friend of God. God would actually speak to Moses like a man speaks to his friend. God requires you to fear him, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, in the New Testament, he said, even if you eat food, do it as unto the Lord. So, these are requirements. It goes on, verse 13, or to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord. What are commandments that you keep? What's a commandment that you keep? I'm not talking about an actual commandment, but what does it mean to keep the commandments? To do them, right? See, Jesus said it in John 15. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what? Whatever you will. But see, the qualifier is this. Number one, you got to abide in him. Abide is more than just a visit. Amen? It means where you live, where you dwell, where you spend the majority of your time. And, he said, my words have to where? Abide in you. What's the words that abide in you? The words that you do. Amen? So if God's word is abiding in you, then you're doing them. Okay? Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day, for what? Say, it is good to keep God's word. We could say, God's word, it does the body good. I'm telling you, the things that God wants you to do are good for you. They're good for your future. They're good in the long run. They're good to the last drop, amen. God is like Maxwell House. He's good to the last drop. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good. Say that. Say, God is good to me. There's nothing evil in your life that originates with God. Amen. The only time that evil comes in our life is when we leave our position in God. And we expose ourselves by our foolishness and our stupidity. Amen? Okay. Go with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Are you doing all right? You know, I love benefits. How many, when you got your job, you inquired what benefits are available? So then you must be into benefits too, amen? Well, we have a God who's into benefits, and he'll daily load us with benefits. Notice what Psalm 34 says. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. No, it didn't say that. When should we bless the Lord? When you get up with a bad hair day, you should bless the Lord. When things don't go right for you, you should bless the Lord. Why? Because I bless the Lord at all times. I don't care what comes against me. I've got a praise in my mouth. I've got something in my heart. I've got a song in my heart that I can give unto God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of him and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hey, come on, let's magnify the Lord together. Come and magnify the Lord with me. Come on, let's go to VCF and magnify the Lord together. God loves to be magnified. When you magnify something, you take something that looks small, but you make it bigger. Amen? So when we magnify the Lord, you know, the Bible says if you're surrounded by enemies, he said, let God arise, and what? His enemies will scatter. When you let God arise with your praise, the enemy's going to say, I'm getting out of here. So you develop in the fear of God by blessing and praising him. Amen? When you bless and praise God, you're talking about who he is and what he's done, right? That's what we spend a whole month on talking about worship. When you're talking about who God is and what he's done, and that will help you get to know God better. Okay? Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that what? And delivers them. So if you're in a situation, and you know, like Daniel, he was a man that feared God. How do we know? Because when they enacted a law not to pray to any other god except the king for 30 days, what did Daniel do? He broke the law. Look at your neighbor and say, Daniel was a lawbreaker. It all depends on whose law you're going by. See, that law was made by man, and it was made by men who were jealous of Daniel, and the only thing they could find Daniel guilty of is praying. So what did Daniel do? He prayed, and he opened up his windows. He said, I'm going to let the world know that I pray. And sure enough, because he did it out of habit, he did it so regularly, the people knew that he was going to pray in his house. So guess what? The people who made the law showed up to his house, and they wanted to enforce the punishment. And Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. But you know who was there? The angel of the Lord was there. And he wasn't a snack for the lions. The lions were his pillow. Amen? And he slept in the midst of a hungry lions. Why? Because the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, who reverence him, who love him, who respect him, who stand in awe of him, who trust him, who obey him. Well, how come when I was in a situation, I didn't get delivered? I'll just let you think about that one. Verse 9. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Say that. Say, there is no want to them that fear him. What does that mean? That means that your good shepherd is going to provide for you. You can trust him for your food, clothing, shelter. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him to provide for you, to give you what you need, to give you what you desire, to give you what you want. But you got to fear him. See, to walk in abundance, you've got to fear him. You've got to reverence him. You've got to respect him. See, the natural return that God gives to people who fear him are blessing, goodness, abundance, strength. But the qualifier is fearing God, doing what he says. Amen? Keeping his commandments. That's all part of fearing the Lord. Verse 11. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. You might be here to say, and you say, well, I don't know how to fear. I don't know what it means to fear God. Fear not, because God will teach you. Matter of fact, he's given you the best teacher you could ever have, called the Holy Spirit. He said when he comes, when the other comforter comes, he'll teach you all things. He'll bring you into all truth. He'll show you things to come. He'll tell you what I've told him. He'll show you what belongs to you. We have the greatest teacher. You can know how to fear God. That means that we're without excuses. You cannot plead ignorance. You know, sometimes if you get caught by the police when you're traveling too fast, you know, they don't allow you to, oh, I didn't know what the speed limit was. That's not a good excuse, is it? No, it's not. Okay? Go down to verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Part of fearing God is walking in righteousness. Verse 18, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as of a contrite spirit. Remember when David sinned against Bathsheba? You can read his prayer in Psalm 51. He said, Lord, I offer to you a broken spirit and a contrite heart, which means David recognized his wrong. He stopped doing the wrong, and he started doing what was right. David genuinely repented. He turned in his heart and in his actions. Does that mean David was perfect? No, because David still experienced consequences. Do you realize that there is a principle of sowing and reaping, and our actions have consequences? Even if we repent, sometimes we still, that doesn't void us of consequences. So when we're not fearing God, and maybe there's a gap in our blessing, you know, God allows us to examine ourselves. Did you know that you can take a self-test? It's an open book test. But the Word of God is like a mirror. How many looked in the mirror today? Okay, I looked in the mirror several times. Because when I look in the mirror, I want to make sure that I'm lined up, because the mirror just gives me an image. But God's Word is a mirror of Jesus Christ. And when we're looking into the mirror of God's law, we're getting an image of Christ, and we're seeing how we line up with Christ. Because if there's something that's not right, the mirror will show you, won't it? It'll show you if you have a stain. It'll show you if you have a spot. It'll show you if, I'm not going to go there. Go with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 17. There's so many benefits to the fear of the Lord. I'm going to talk more about some more benefits next week. I mean, there's so many. I've got 10 pages of notes. We could do a whole seminar, but I'm not going to do that to you today, amen? And the people said, praise God. You know, but sometimes we need to look at examples of people who feared God, because the people in the Bible are just like you and I. And they're written for our examples. So in 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, we have a king here. His name is Jehoshaphat. His name means God is judge. And in verse 1 of chapter 17, Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. In that day, the righteous kings came from Judah, and the wicked kings came from Israel. It was at that time that the kingdom was divided. All right, there were two tribes of Judah, and then the rest of the tribes were with Israel, and they were at odds with each other. Amen? Because further on down the line, there were people who didn't fear the Lord, and they caused division to come into the kingdom. All right? Now notice some things about Jehoshaphat. Verse 2, he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now, we don't necessarily build fences or set up garrisons, but we can guard our heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Just as he built these garrisons physically, we can guard our heart spiritually. Why? Because your heart, you got to guard what goes in your heart. You don't want anything bad going into your heart, because if there's bad things in your heart, it's going to come out in your life. So in order for you to do right in life, you got to change your heart. Okay? Now notice verse 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he walked in the first ways. Notice the first ways. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? He walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not the Baals. Okay, the Baals were an idol that people sought. Okay? Verse 4, but sought the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So here we see Jehoshaphat, who was a king. He was a leader, but he had a right heart. He was doing the things that he needed to do spiritually. Okay? The world has a statement that says nice guys finish last. I disagree, because the Bible says the last shall be first. Jesus was the nicest guy you could ever meet, and he finished first. Amen? Matter of fact, Jesus finished at the top of his class. He was the valedictorian, the salutatorian, all together in one. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Aren't you glad to know that Jesus calls you his brethren, his family? Amen? You got his blood coursing through your spirit. Glory to God. So Jehoshaphat, he sought the Lord God. You know, it's important for our leaders to seek God. Therefore, notice, therefore, it comes after an action was taken. The Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches, honor in abundance. I'm telling you, it was because he feared God. Say, those who fear the Lord, God can make them rich. You believe that? Then we ought to fear the Lord. Not because he makes us rich, but because we love him. Notice, you got to get your priorities straight. You don't serve God because what he gives you. Because the greatest gift of all, which is salvation, it trumps any other gift. And because God saved us, I will serve him the rest of my life if he gives me no other thing. Because salvation is so great, it's so awesome, I will give him my life. He delivered me from hell. He brought me from the pit. He kept me from being destroyed. Amen? He'll satisfy my mouth with good things. He crowns me with loving kindness. Glory to God. Woo, I could take off on Psalm 103. So people were bringing him presents. Verse 6. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of all Judah. The high places is where they worshiped idols. Is there something in your life that needs to be removed? Is there something in our life that needs to be torn down and taken away? Amen? You know that there are some things. God is a jealous God. He said, if you have anything before me, he said, I'm a jealous God. God demands our full attention. God demands our whole heart. Amen? And if we have a tendency to want to worship something, so we will, it's easy for us to get idols. The enemy can just fill your life up with so much stuff that you're too busy. I'm too busy. Really? I'm glad Jesus had enough time. I'm glad he wasn't too busy. Oh, I can fit the cross in my schedule. Come on. He wasn't too busy, was he? Do you think, he had to leave heaven. He had to leave eternity and come to this earth. He was willing to do that. He was willing to come and die for you so that you could have life, so that you could have a relationship with God. If Jesus didn't do what he did, we'd all be dead and gone. So praise God. We don't serve God because of what he does for us. We serve him because we love him. Amen? That's the bottom line. Now also, he gathered priests and Levites. Okay, verse 9. They taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. How many know that teaching of the word is important? Amen? Is it more important than worshiping the Lord? No, they share equal. That was a trick question. Notice what happened when he taught the people the word of God, verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon where? The kingdom. All the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah. See, when we get a hold of the fear of the Lord, it's going to affect more than just you or more than just me. It has a rock in the water effect. You know, you ever throw a rock in the water, what happens? There's waves that go out. One splash of that rock sends waves throughout the entire pond. Amen? And when we as a people get a hold of the fear of the Lord, God's going to send a wave throughout Palmyra. He's going to send a wave throughout Lebanon County. He's going to send a wave throughout Dauphin County. He's going to send a wave. There's going to be shock waves. Amen? When we get a hold of the fear of the Lord, when we start walking in the fear of the Lord, it's going to change things. We're going to walk in a place and demons are going to get unnerved. Seriously. We're going to be able to correct wrongs. The fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. See, when we walk in the fear of the Lord, it puts our enemies at peace with us. You got any enemies that you need to make peace with? Fear God and let God take care of it. Amen? Vengeance belongs to him. Now notice verse 11. This is amazing. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents. The Philistines were enemies. Goliath was a Philistine. Samson fought against the Philistines. And because Jehoshaphat has his heart right, he's walking with God, he's keeping his commandments, all of a sudden now, and he's sending out people to teach the word. And God is doing amazing things when your enemy sends you presents. You know, one time this lady, she needed groceries. She had nothing in her refrigerator, nothing in her cabinets. And this atheist heard about her situation. Now, this atheist saw this as an opportunity to disprove God. So what this atheist did was he went to the grocery store. He bought 2 bags of groceries. He laid it on the woman's porch, and he hid in the bushes. And he rang the doorbell and jumped into the bushes. And when the woman came out, she saw the bags of groceries. And she said, "Thank you, Lord. Praise God." And the atheist jumped out of the bushes. And he said, "God didn't give you those groceries." He said, "I bought those groceries." And she looked at him and smiled. She said, "Lord, thank you for these groceries and thank you for making the devil pay for it." Do you realize there's a proverb that says if you catch a thief and he owes you 7 times? Philistines were sending him presents and tribute silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,000. Now the Arabians, they don't give their oil away, do they? And 7,000 rams and 7,700 he-goats. Verse 12. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. You know, God doesn't use words lightly. He kept growing in his power, in his dominion. Why? Because he was fearing God. See, when you're aligned with God, and you're walking with God, you're walking in the light that you know, you're walking in the knowledge that you have, you're walking in the revelation that God showed you, you're quick to obey, you're quick to forgive and quick to repent, amen? God is going to be inclined to do things on your behalf. Joseph, he walked in the fear of the Lord as a slave. Yes, his brothers sold him into slavery. Yes, he was bought like a possession, like a piece of property, but he did not have a slave mentality. He did not see himself as a slave. He went to Potiphar's house. He did the very best that he could do. He exercised his knowledge. He did what he knew to do. He walked in the light that he had, and guess what? God was with him. Joseph feared God. How do we know? Because he had a good attitude in the midst of bad situation. A lot of Christians would have been complaining. They'd have been cussing out their brothers. They'd have been moaning and groaning and grumbling. But not Joseph. Joseph just took it. And God exalted him. See, when you serve God, he will bless you. His goodness will come upon you. Verse 13, he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were at Jerusalem. So Jehoshaphat, he was a man who feared God. Go to chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches, honor, how? Say, everybody say that. Say, in abundance. See, when you're right with God, you get the benefit of God's resources. You literally get a credit line from heaven. And all you got to do is have faith to make a transaction. You don't even have to sign your name. You just have to exercise your faith. You just have to believe God, and you can make a withdrawal on what God's already given you. When you need healing in your body, you can go to the bank of heaven and you can say, I need healing. I'm exchanging my faith. He said, okay, I'll make a withdrawal from your account. And when you make a withdrawal, it gets put right back in. Go to chapter 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also. You know, when you're walking in the blessings of God, Satan won't be happy about it, but that's his problem. Amen? And he can try and try and try, but he won't succeed. Amen? So it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, Ammon, and other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Well, I thought if I feared God that I'd never have any problems. No, when you fear God, you got the solution to every problem. Doesn't mean that the enemy won't try to attack you, but you'll always have the victory. You'll always have the upper hand. Amen? Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. Notice what he did. He set himself to seek the Lord. That's a person that fears God. That's a person that reverences God. Yeah, when trouble comes, the first place he goes to is God. Amen? When the devil comes and knocks at your door, you let Jesus answer. When the devil knocks on your door, say, Jesus, would you answer that door, please? And when Jesus answers, doesn't he live in your house? Amen? So when the devil knocks on your door, you can let Jesus answer. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You know, maybe his focus was challenged. Maybe, you know, he just needed to refocus, to recalibrate. He needed to realign with God, so he called a fast. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. See, because he set the people up because he taught them the word. He taught the people how to respond. And when he said, we're going to fast, the people responded. They said, we're going to fast. Amen? That'd be like if I teach you about fasting and say, okay, we're going to go on a fast. You know what? I got an email from RHEMA, the RHEMA Ministerial Association International, and is next Thursday the 23rd? Yes? Okay, they want people to fast and pray for the election on I think there's like five Thursdays, starting in August 23rd. And what they said was, if you want to just fast a meal, or if you want to fast a day, it's up to you. However you want to fast, but take time and pray for our elections. Amen? I think we need to join that. Amen? So starting this Thursday, however you want to fast, that's between you and God. If you want to fast a day or if you want to fast a meal, however, whatever works for you. But take some time in your day and pray for our election. Pray for our country. Pray for our government. Amen? And be sure that you're registered to vote. If you're not registered to vote, I have some information that I can help you. I think the final day for voter registration is October 6th. I saw that, I think, yesterday. But we need to vote, amen? Amen? Vote your values. Vote what you believe in. Vote according to the Ten Commandments. If there's a candidate that's into killing babies, you don't vote for him because the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill. Amen? So vote your values. All right, back to the story. That was just a word from our announcer. Verse 5, and I'm almost finished. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. He was at church before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are not you God in heaven? So he's recognizing God. He's recognizing his position, okay? And don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand you? Are you not God? Notice, what is he doing? He's magnifying God. Okay, yeah, trouble came. He's surrounded by three other nations. They're coming to attack. They're coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen? Just like what the devil tries to do to you. And the devil can only make himself look big, but he's really a toothless lion. And didn't you give this land before your people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend forever? Wow, that's a powerful statement. Abraham is God's friend forever. Woo! And they dwell therein. So we know the story. God gave Jehoshaphat a plan. See, when you put God first, he'll give you his strategy. He sent the praisers out before the warriors. God told Jehoshaphat, he said, you don't have to fight, you just have to show up. You just have to act like you're ready to fight. You just have to come into the ring. You just have to show up. You know, there are times when you got to just show up and look your enemy. You know, like when they walked around Jericho. For 6 days, they couldn't say nothing, but they looked at the wall. They looked at the people. They gave them the evil eye. Not the evil eye, the good eye. There are times when you got to confront your enemy. And when you're walking with God, David knew, he said, this uncircumcised Philistine, he recognized Goliath as someone who did not have a covenant with God. And when David showed up for the battle, he already won when he showed up. Some people, they don't even want to show up. Jehoshaphat sent the praisers out before the warriors. What a military strategy that was. No tanks, no bows and arrows, no spears, praisers. Oh, but if you understood the arsenal that you have in praise, if you understood the power that there is in praise, when they were praising God, God launched such an attack on the enemy that the enemy was confused. And the enemy started killing each other. And by the time Jehoshaphat got to where the battle was taking place, it was the battle between the three nations. It took 3 days for Jehoshaphat to gather the spoil. So it all relates to fear the Lord. I want you to have a greater understanding of fearing the Lord. And if there's an area in your life that you're not fearing God, then you have an opportunity to change. If there's a commandment that you're not doing, that you're not practicing, then you need to start doing it. If you want God's best, you got to give him your best. Come on. You know, people think that because of what God did with Jesus, that it's automatic, but it's not. If. You know, the Bible uses if a lot. If you do this. If you believe. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can make the wrong right. Father, we can make the deceptive light. We can expose those things that are done in darkness. And we can come clean before you, Father. And we can walk with you in the name of Jesus. You know, God wants to walk with you. He wants a relationship with you. Amen? Gene and Shirley, would you come up here, please? It's about time that what happened to Jehoshaphat happens to you. I told her on Friday, I said that she's going to have victory over the bully. The bully is a disease that has been constantly attacking her and trying to, but she, you know what? She's still standing. Glory to God. You're still standing. Father, in the name of Jesus, the battle may seem long, but the battle is over when you trust in the Lord. So, Father, today, I thank you today, Father, that you have given them the victory. I thank you, Lord. Thanks be unto God, you caused them to triumph, to overcome, not to be defeated, but to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, I declare that nothing shall by any means hurt you in the name of Jesus. And Father, the strength that this disease has tried to take is being restored to her in the name of Jesus. I declare surely that you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that he is increasing your strength right now. He's given you power. He gives power to the faint. There may have been days that you may feel like you fainting, like you're weak, like you can't do what you need to do, but I'm telling you, that's changing right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, the course that you've been on, hallelujah, you're about to cross the finish line, and I'm talking about to gain the victory and to have strength restored, health restored, finances restored in the name of Jesus. Lord, I believe that this is going to be the best year ever in the name of Jesus. This is going to be the best year ever. I declare it to be so. I release the anointing of God. Father, fill them right now in their hearts, in their minds. Yes. Fill them with your power. Fill them with your goodness. Fill them with your joy. Oh, ho, ha, yes. Sorobo kasandala mama. Father, give them joy unspeakable. Yeah. In full of glory. Whoo, there it is. Sorobo kasandala. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. If there has been... If you have been bullied in your walk with God, if you have had things come against you, we're going to break that right now in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you've had things come against you, you've had things not work out like they should, you've had obstacles or mountains, the mountain mover is here today. Amen? The one who fills in all the gaps is here today. So if that's you, I want you to come up right now, and I want you to receive the victory that's in Jesus Christ. Amen? I want you to receive the victory. Hallelujah. You can play that song that we did in worship, I Will Wait on You. Play that song, and as you're waiting, hallelujah, you can worship. And you know what? Hands don't even need to be laid on you sometimes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Today's a victory day. Today we're getting the victory. Hallelujah. No more defeat. No more weakness. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Just take a moment. I want you to be praising God. Amen. We're going to send the praisers out before the warriors in Jesus' name. Take a moment and just praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I'm done.